I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Thursday, May 28th, 2026. Iowa is nearing the end of the planting season, at least as of last week, as drier conditions allowed many producers to return to the fields, according to the latest Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the week ending May 24th, farmers had 4 days suitable for field work, and the focus remained primarily on getting the 2026 crop in the ground. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says after a rough stretch of severe weather, farmers welcomed a break from the thunderstorms and headed back to the fields, with many areas getting closer to wrapping up planting. He adds that extended weather outlooks suggest warmer and drier conditions through the end of May and into early June. Corn planting reached 94% complete statewide, matching last year's pace, with 72% of the crop having emerged. Soybean planting reached 90% complete, 1 point behind last year, with 57% of the crop emerged. As for moisture conditions, topsoil measured 25% short to very short, 70% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil was rated 24% short to very short, 69% adequate, and 7% surplus. The statewide average temperature for the week was 58.8 degrees Fahrenheit, about 3.1 degrees below normal. Weekly precipitation averaged 1.5 inches, which is nearly 4.4 inches above normal. You can read the full report online in its entirety at nass.usda.gov. A little bit of political talk here for you. Republican gubernatorial candidate Adam Steen will be making a campaign stop in Carroll on Friday as the clock winds down on Iowa's June 2nd primaries. Steen, who previously served as director of the Iowa Department of Administrative Services under Governor Kim Reynolds, will appear at Volcourts and Firearms on Friday at 9 a.m. on his full Steen Ahead tour. The event, which is open to the general public, will have Steen engage directly with Iowans prior to Tuesday's primary and November's general election. GOP voters have the most crowded field to choose from in Iowa primary history, with 5 candidates appearing on the ballot. The most previously seen, at least as of primary day, was 3, based on my research. In addition to Steen, Republicans are also considering Iowa's 4th District U.S. Congressman Randy Feenstra, State Representative Eddie Andrews, former State Representative Brad Sherman, and Zach Lane, who's an Iowa farmer and political advocate, for the nomination. Current Iowa State Auditor Rob Sand is the Iowa Democratic Party's presumptive nominee. Staying on the topic of political candidates, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Josh Turk is scheduled to visit Westside Friday as part of his Pushing for Change, Get Out the Vote tour just days before Iowa's primary elections. The campaign event is scheduled for 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Nate Brothers Farm at 360 West North Avenue over by Westside. Organizers are encouraging attendees to bring lawn chairs for that outdoor gathering. Food and refreshments, including hot dogs, chips, cookies, and water, will be provided as attendees hear from Turk on his campaign priorities and vision for Iowa and the nation. In the event of severe weather or just unpleasant outdoor weather, the gathering will move to the Westside Fire Station. Turek, who has served in the Iowa House of Representatives for District 20 since 2023, is running against District 43 Iowa State Senator Zach Walls for the Democratic Senate nomination for November. On the GOP side of the Senate primaries is District 2 U.S. Congresswoman Ashley Hinson and former Iowa State Senator Jim Carlin. The 4 candidates are seeking the seat that will be vacated by U.S. Senator Joni Ernst at the end of her term, as Ernst has chosen to not seek re-election. Speaking of Ernst, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst has named Top Loft Clothing of Carroll as her Small Business of the Week. Ernst, who's chair of the Senate Small Business Committee, recognizes one small business each week in Iowa, in each of Iowa's 99 counties. That's all during the 119th Congress. A Top Loft was founded in 2014 by Stephanie Hackford and began as an online women's clothing boutique before expanding into a full-service custom apparel and branded merchandise business. The company now operates from a downtown Carroll storefront and provides custom clothing, promotional merchandise, and web store services for schools, teams, and organizations across Iowa and the nation. Ernst says Top Loft Clothing is a seamless example of the innovation, adaptability, and entrepreneurial drive that define Iowa small businesses. Through its tightly woven community involvement and charitable work, this company continues to make a lasting impact on Carroll County. Ernst will continue highlighting Iowa businesses throughout the session as part of her Small Business of the Week initiative, and always neat to see a local company recognized there. Staff and administrators over at the Carroll Community School District will gather tomorrow to celebrate the end of the 2025-26 school year. Because the school board is expected to have a quorum in terms of members in attendance, they've released an agenda for that Friday morning meeting that's at 10:45 over in the Gene Vincent Auditorium at the Carroll High School. While no formal action is planned, the board will call the meeting to order and proceed to celebrate retirements, acknowledge milestone years of service, and celebrate teachers and staff for completing another successful school year. Today, by the way, is the final day of classes for students and staff reports for professional development tomorrow before officially beginning their summer break. And we do need to be stepping away here for just a moment. Don't go anywhere, though. We'll be right back. More news after this on KCIM.
Mount Carmel Mutual, your local Grinnell Mutual member insurance company, celebrates the contributions of our local cattle farmers during National Beef Month. You work hard every day to bring beef to market, and we take pride in protecting that hard work with quality insurance coverage you rely on. Together, we can trust in tomorrow.
Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Here in the second half, just going to be looking at Tuesday's Carroll City Council meeting and, of course, the vote on the Ziegler-Caterpillar development agreement that's been in the works for several years now. The Carroll City Council did vote 4-2 at Tuesday's meeting to approve that agreement with the company for the construction of a new facility on the western edge of town. Under the proposed deal, the city will provide a 20-year, $1.1 million forgivable loan sourced through local option sales tax and repaid through tax increment financing from the associated urban renewal area. And then Ziegler will build a new facility there that has a minimum valuation of at least $5.5 million. Prior to voting on the deal, city officials hosted a public hearing, and former Carroll Mayor Mark Beardmore was the first to speak, saying the agreement is a far cry from where they were several years ago.
It was a $40 million bill. We figured about a $30 million minimum assessment, initially 20, up to 40 immediately, and potentially up to 60 jobs. So I just think that it's important that the public is aware that this proposal has been downsized substantially. The only thing that has not changed is the ask. The ask back then was actually $1 million, now it's $1.1.
By using TIF, the city will collect 100% of the property tax proceeds from the new structure for up to 20 years, which equated to just over about $104,000 per year, which will then be used to reimburse the city's loan to Ziegler. City officials estimate it'll take about 11 years for the city to fully recoup its investment. According to the agreement, the company will extend infrastructure to their site west of Carroll, and it'll be built to city code and standards. After the infrastructure is completed, the city will sign off following a satisfactory inspection and take over ownership, operation, and maintenance. Kim Tiefenthaler, a local business owner, spoke during the public hearing as well, supporting the company's expansion to Carroll.
I know the Ziegler thing has gone on a long time. We understand that. We understand what the farm economy and all the economies have done. We still have to be happy that we can get this company to town, because I'm sure when things get better, which the farm swing, you boys remember the, or folks remember the 80s? I was there. That's when it was down and dirty. Well, we're kind of there now, not as bad, but this thing will swing back around, and I'm sure these people down the road will increase this building, will increase their employees and everything. And it's just going to be a good deal for us moving west to have that put in place so that Ziegler can take advantage of it, and we don't know who else down the line will take advantage of this.
No other comments were received during the public hearing, and the council then moved into their discussions. Ward 1 Councilwoman Deb Kosher says it's hard to understand how the city's contribution to this project has gone functionally unchanged when Ziegler's was scaled back by nearly 80%.
For me, not being on the council when this happened, you know, several years ago, heck yes, on the original build, you know, 35 to 40 million, 20 to 40 jobs, and then if Fort Dodge shut down, it would be 60 jobs here. The 1.1 is a no-brainer. But now that it's changed so drastically, down to $5.5 million valuation and only six jobs, that's $183,000 a job. The actual medium income in Carroll is $69,000. You know, it's like, I have to look at the average taxpayer that I'm representing that say, no, we don't need to keep doing all these deals unless, like, let them give some.
At-large Councilman Laverne Dirks acknowledged the sentiment, but he says the economic development environment has changed so that cities that don't participate in some form will stagnate.
You know, I go to these meetings. I talk to these developers all over the state of Iowa and around it, and they're telling me until we pay for infrastructure, they're not even going to look at Carroll.
Beardmore also pointed out during the meeting that several recent Ziegler expansions in Emmitsburg and Grundy Center did not receive incentives from those communities, and Ziegler built anyway. However, neither of those projects fell within city limits and were not new construction like the Carroll project will be. A motion from Ward 2 Councilman Jason Atherton to table the agreement in order to renegotiate with Ziegler failed on a 4-2 vote. Atherton and Koster voting to table the issue there. A follow-up motion to approve the development agreement passed on the same margin, again 4-2, Atherton and Koster voting no. With the agreement in place, Ziegler is expected to begin moving quickly on their project. While no firm timeline has been announced by the company, city officials indicated representatives from Ziegler have suggested they hope to be operational by as soon as the end of the year. That's a pretty optimistic timeline, but that's what they're shooting for anyway. You can find video from this section of Tuesday's meeting included with this story on our website. That is going to be wrapping up your look at the KCIM Midday News for this Thursday, May 28th, 2026. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.